You're listening to General Geekery Podcast.
Welcome to episode 9 of General Geekery. I am Brian, and with me as always is JD.
Hello.
And tonight we're going to kind of continue our talk with customizers, because we're both kind of on the customizing kick, although I haven't been doing that much recently because of the new puppy that we have. But our customizer tonight is Sean Grogan. He's a buddy of ours. I've known Sean probably going on almost as long as I've known JD, I'll bet.
Yeah, and I got to meet him back in March, so it's nice to talk to him again.
Yeah, yeah, it's good
to be on. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
Normally we ask, first question is usually, what got you into customizing?
What got me into customizing was I got really sick. I was at home sick and was looking at a bunch of G.I. Joes that I had lying around. And I had found joedios.com first, and then I stumbled on joecustoms.com and figured I'd give it a go.
Wow, Joe Dios. Boy, there's a blast from the past.
Boy, no kidding, huh?
I still check it out every once in a while. It's a good page. People still there.
Do they really? I didn't know if it was still around. It's been a long time since I was there.
Yeah, it's still around. It's holding on.
Good deal. It's nice to see some of that stuff still hanging around after all these years. I don't know too many people that go on the boards anymore.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's forums just aren't it's. I don't know. I can't even say popular. They're just not as well utilized. I really think that social media sort of took that over, because it's just so easy to have conversations and share stuff that I think it just sort of took the spotlight off forums.
Yeah, I've completely not. Intentionally, but completely stopped getting on the boards just because of the difficulty of file sharing. It's just so much easier to run my own page on Facebook.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I'll still go on the only site that I still go to regularly, semi-regularly, is joecustoms.com.
And you know what? I still surf it and I still look at people's stuff, but I don't even remember the last time I was signed in, because if I want to leave feedback for them, really what I do is, because there's a Joe Customs Critiques group on Facebook.
Yep.
So I just go on there. Yeah, I still surf Joe Customs, but yeah, not the forum anymore. And I think that was the last forum that I used to visit, really, before I just got away from all this altogether. So.
Yeah, totally. I think the last board that I was on regularly was His Tank. Normally, then we ask, you know, what do you like to customize? But you kind of have your own unique thing going, don't you, Sean?
I like to think I do. Yeah.
Oh, you definitely do.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your thing.
So my thing is All That Remains, and it's a zombie fanfic that includes Joes and characters from all kinds of cartoons and comics that I grew up with, and I try to make everything work in that universe that I see in my head, this post-apocalyptic, zombie-infested world.
Yeah, never thought I'd see G.I. Joe and Scooby-Doo and Inspector Gadget occupying the same space.
I was just going to say, you know, elaborate on some of your more unusual customs that people might be surprised to see in this verse, and I was specifically thinking of the Scooby-Doo and the Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, they're pretty memorable, so.
They were a lot of fun to make, and it was really fun to try to write these goofy characters into a semi-realistic way, and I had a lot of fun with it, and there's more of them, there's more of that coming. I've also included some other stuff like Captain Caveman. I put an Inch High Private Eye. No one seems to remember Inch High Private Eye, but
nope, no idea.
That sounds familiar, but I can't place it.
It's one of those Hanna-Barbera cartoons from back in the day.
I figured
he was literally like an inch tall, and he worked with his niece and her boyfriend, and he solved crimes. In my universe, he's just a little person, and he works with his niece and her boyfriend to
midgets.
Yeah,
very nice.
Solve crimes.
Well, and that's the cartoons aren't the only thing that you work into your verse, is it?
No, I work everything.
Yeah, I mean, you've got customs of your friends, and you've managed.
Oh God, you're in it. You're both in it.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, in fact, one of the customs that you sent me that has interchangeable heads because it's a master of disguise, one of them looks like Brian, and one of them looks like me. And I got this custom 4 years ago, probably. So, yeah, it's maybe 5 years ago. Yeah, it's yeah, and he captured both of our likenesses amazingly well.
Oh, thank you.
Nice.
Yeah, JD's a big part of the Viper's Nest storyline. Huge part of that. And then, Brian, you're part of the Viper's Den storyline that I've got coming. And in fact, the Viper's Nest and Viper's Den are going to be meeting up in a future story, so you guys will be in the same storyline.
We're going to fight.
Awesome.
We're going to fight because I want to win. So.
No, I understand.
No, he's Cobra Medic. You're a Cobra. So, you're on the same side.
That's all right. He'd just step on me anyway, so.
Probably, pretty much. I'll have to send you the picture of JD wearing a ski mask so you can make another interchangeable head.
That's not as funny as you think it is.
Oh, it's hilarious.
It's really not. Only a little bit.
I've seen the picture. Yeah. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's, see, there you go.
Mildly humorous for a minute.
And of course, then everybody wants to know, like, techniques, like paints. What type of paints do you like to use?
I really only use Games Workshop, and it's only because when I was living in New York City, there was a Games Workshop near the comic book store that I went to regularly, and it's what I got used to, and it's just what I'm used to, so that's what I like to use. I've tried other paints. I've tried Tamiya and some of the other brands, but the Games Workshop's my go-to.
They still are. In fact, a couple months ago, I discovered that there's a game, there's a gaming store here with all the card games, all the miniatures games, all the role playing games, and they sell the Citadel paint and the Games the otherwise known as the Games Workshop paints, and which is good because those stores don't exist anymore. At least not here, but I mean it's a drive for me to get out there. But man, when I need paint, I just prefer to go there only because it does. It sticks the best to the customs.
Yeah, it's my go-to paint as well. 90% of what I use is Games Workshop. The other 10%.
If I'm using another brand, it's only because it's a color that I don't want to mix. And I don't need a lot of it. Like, I'm not going to buy another brand to cover an entire figure. I'm going to buy another brand to paint a vest or something. But if I'm painting, if I'm doing a full repaint, it's Games Workshop paint all the way.
Yeah, I like to start with the Games Workshop primer. I think, Brian, you use the auto primer, don't you?
Not anymore. I was using auto primer for a while, and then I had a couple of bad cans that left the figures really grainy. It ruined my builds on a couple of customs that I had done. So I stopped using it, and I use, I can't remember what the brand is. I can never remember. I always posted a picture of it on my Facebook page. But it's, you get it at the same place though.
Yeah. I like the Games Workshop, and the reason I like the Chaos Black Games Workshop primer, the stuff dries in like 10 minutes. I can spray my figures, walk away, go play with my daughter, come back 10, 15 minutes later, dry, ready for paint.
Mine's like it's that too, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got no patience for that, you know? I usually spend a specific amount of time on a build, and then when I got the build done, I want to paint. That's my thing. I love to paint. So when I got that build done, I want it primed, and I want to get started painting right away. I don't want to have to wait.
Yeah. See, I actually prefer the building process, and I don't like painting until I start painting, and then I enjoy it. But the leading up to the painting, I just dread it. My wife can attest to this. I'll just sit there and stare at 10 or 15 figures that are built and just be like, I don't know what to do. And I'll ask her to pick a figure, and she'll pick one. I'll be like, I don't want to paint that one. That one's too complicated.
I can't pick. You pick. Nope, that pick sucks.
Excellent. I love it.
That's funny.
And Games Workshop, I think, is probably the most versatile paint that is out there. I mean, just a little bit of water and it makes a good wash.
Yep.
Let it sit for a little bit and makes an excellent dry brush, all from one bottle. And then just base covers as well. And then they've kind of branched out over the years and made their own washes, and they've got a decent selection of metallic paints, and there's just a lot of versatility to it now too.
I just really like
their metallic paints cover better than any other brand. Like, you can use their silver and get one coat of coverage where most other brands, silver or gold, you're putting three and four coats on.
Yeah. I agree completely. So, JD, what were you going to ask him?
Well, I was just going to ask, what are you working on right now? And what toy line? Well, before that, answer, what toy lines besides G.I. Joe do you use parts from? Because I know sometimes you integrate other stuff in there.
So the first question, what other figures? I use a lot of Joes, but I've also been using a lot of the Marauder Task Force figures. I've messed around with a few hacks. I used a hack to make my All That Remains Skeletor. I used a hacks upper with an MTF lower. That was a fun build. And then I'll use anything. I've used Marvel Universe stuff. I've even used Spawn figures and different McFarlane figures. One of my Trapjaw figure I did a year ago was made up of, I think, 14 different figure lines.
Yeah. Holy shit, man. Awesome. Wow. That's...
I'm really proud of that one. That one actually got me an award on JoeCustoms.com for it was something along the lines of, like, best build.
Nice.
It was insane. And the only person that I actually sent whip picks to was Dan Kosa, Spectre.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't have the whip pick to post with it so people could really see what went into it. But it was like 14 or 15 different Jesus. Lines. Not just different figures, but different lines.
Damn.
That's crazy. I mean, I think the most I've used was like 10 or 12 different figures, but definitely not different lines. So then, that is what are you working eclectic. On right now then?
So what am I working on right now? I'm working on a Shona figure for a commission. And I got to tell you, I was really hesitant to take the commission. And I ended up finding out that the guy asked a bunch of people and no one wanted to do it because it's such a difficult figure. And it's really pushing my limits. I got the base down. If you're familiar with what is it, The Last Dragon, Return of the
The Last Dragon.
It's shown off as the one of the bad guys in it.
Yeah, he's the lead bad guy.
Yeah. And he's so complicated because he's got that like leopard jaguar belt and those big that big red shoulder nonsense, and it's really taken me a lot longer than I was hoping it would, and I'm almost at the point where, and I require a 50% deposit on any commission that I do, and it's non-refundable, but at this point, I'm like, I might refund the guy, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish it.
I've only done a handful of commissions over the years, and I don't mind doing it. If it, you know, I would have done it if the subject matter was okay. Like if it was a custom that even if it seemed easy at the outset, but I thought, well, that could get complicated, then I still would have taken it. But if I looked at something and I'm like, something real elaborate like that, I'm like, I don't know. And the only ones I did were like really Star Wars customs because. Generally what people were looking for was they wanted certain characters that weren't in the line. So, you know, it was a matter of using a lot of different, Star Wars parts and Star Wars compatible parts, but generally they were just looking for characters that were specific. And it's like, you know, they wanted all the young Jedi Knights, and, you know, from the books, but there were one or two that they didn't make. So I made a couple of those characters because I was really just filling in the gaps. But they weren't overly complicated stuff. Like nobody commissioned me to do an Old Republic Sith Lord because if they had, I would have been like, "Are you crazy? I wouldn't even make one of those for me." You know, but because they're so elaborate. But it's been a long time since I did a commission, and I feel you. There was one I did that. I got partway through it, and I'm like, you know what? I'm about tired of doing this costume.
Yeah, my last one was like that. I couldn't get my paints right on it for some reason. It was just driving me crazy. Luckily, my customer was very sympathetic towards that and was in no hurry to get it. I think that's one of the biggest pitfalls for commissioning is you get people that are just completely impatient. They want it yesterday.
Well, that's because they don't understand the artistic process.
Well, and that's why I really am choosy of who I do commissions for. And it really, at the end of the day, there's like three people that if they ask me for a commission, I'm going to do it. Because I've done, there's one guy, beyond the Shonuff commission, I'm doing another commission for a guy who wanted a pickup truck and two Middle Eastern terrorists. And I've done at this point 3 or 4 vehicles. I've done over a dozen figures. He's willing to wait as long as it takes, and there's no pressure, and he's always happy with the work. So I like working with him.
Yeah.
And I have a couple other customers who are the same way. They want something. I tell them up front, it's going to take a few months, and they're all, they know it's coming because they worked with me before, and that's all good. But this is a new guy. I've never worked with them before, and I just don't know. I don't know how long it's going to take me to do this.
Yeah, I had a customer like that when I was doing my seals a long time ago. He would buy just about everything that I made. But, yeah. I rarely do commissions. I mean, the last figures that I made for somebody that wasn't me, aside from this last commission that I did, was both of you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You guys, man, been a while, between the man. Two of you, you have more of my work than anyone else does.
I have one of your pieces that was on my wedding cake.
Yeah, yes, that's right. I did a topper or an accessory topper for his wedding cake, and the zombie Jango Fett and Mandalorian zombie hunter.
That's right. Yeah, I have those, and I did the toppers on the cake as self customs of me and my wife, and then I asked customizers to just loan me zombies to cover my cake. And I ran into something like you were saying earlier about trying to get people on. I asked about 30 customizers. I got 3 customs.
Yeah.
And I didn't even need to keep them. I just wanted to borrow them, put them on the cake.
Oh. Go send them back. You know what? I remember when you asked, but at that point, it was a matter of I wasn't customizing anything anymore. Like, I don't even think I had the – I wouldn't have even readily had the parts available to make one because I was just totally out of it at that point. Because I want to say I think my son was a few months old, and it was like, well, customizing takes a backseat. So.
Right, I get that.
Yeah, I think that Jango Fett zombie is like one of the customs that I was like the most sorry to part with because that one just came out. So nice.
It's a really good one. Yeah, it's on my shelf with customs from when we used to do all those trades back in the day.
Oh man, I miss those custom swaps. Those were the days when you say, "All right, I'm going to make a custom for you. You make a custom for me. You send them, and you get the surprise of what they did." And
yep,
man, that was good times.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And then we used to do a thing where we would just send random parts to somebody, and they had to create something from those random parts.
Oh, I remember that.
Parts that was challenge. Awesome. Yeah, you get a pair of legs or a crazy head, or it'd be some.
You get enough stuff for like, there's enough, you know, like enough parts for like maybe 2 or 3 figures, and you had to put something together.
Yeah, you get. Yep. So you got to pick a pair of arms, pick the legs, pick the head. Pick the torso and put something together and make something decent out of it.
You know, we do it where we would it started out with like enough parts for 3 figures. You would take the parts you wanted for your figures, put the equal number of parts out, and send it off to someone else. Isn't
Holy
that how
shit.
We did it?
That is exactly how we did that.
Yes.
So you took parts out enough for one, you put parts in enough for the next, you sent the package on to the next people, and eventually all the parts got used up, and there were different parts in the... Wow. Sean, your memory is impeccable. Dude, you're like a Vulcan with your retention. Jeez. Man, that was a long, long time ago. Man, those really were the days.
Totally. And I know I have at least 2 customs from Sean. He did a 5th Doctor Who for me.
That's right. And you know what? That doctor, it's all your fault that I like Doctor Who now. I totally blame you. Because you asked for that, and I figured if I'm gonna make this figure, I should watch the show and at least know what the hell I'm making. And I got hooked.
Right?
I blame you.
I'll take that blame. I'll take that blame. That's welcome to a better world.
Absolutely.
So your custom turned him into a Whovian, Brian. That's pretty cool.
Totally, I still have it too. It came out really nice. What head did you use for that? Do you remember?
Oh my goodness, I don't remember. I just know I had the sculpt, the hair.
Yeah.
Well, last week I was looking through some stuff and I pulled up the custom of it was the Action Force or the Action Man villain, No Face, that you made me. It had interchangeable heads, and it's only put away simply because all the customs that people have made for me, I do have them put away because I don't want anything to happen to them. Right. So, you know, I dig them out, and once I do a custom every 6 months, maybe I'll do a photograph with it. But I was looking at it, I'm like, man, your creativity, I mean, I'm creative, Ryan's creative, but man, sometimes your use of parts is just, mind-blowing to me. I looked at some of those parts, and let's see, one of them was that weird, lumpy, tribal-looking Cobra Commander Pursuit of Cobra face mask with all the pockmarks and shit in it, and most people wouldn't have been able to find a use for that goofy part, but you used it on the Red Laser custom you made for me, and you made it look like that sculpt had been made to make a character like that, and otherwise I would have looked at that piece and said, well, that's got to be a Star Wars alien, because I can't think of anything else would be that ugly. But you made it work.
Thank you.
Nope, I hear little one in the background.
Yeah, she's running around.
Which reminds me, I'll have to check on my four-legged little one here in a little bit. I haven't seen her in like 2 minutes, so.
Yeah, my three-year-old passed the hell out a little while ago. He usually he's up later, but today he had no nap, and he was going to fall asleep, and I kept him awake, and then he didn't have another late night, sure enough. He said, I'm going to go into bed. He went into bed. I went in to check on him a minute later. Gone. I'm like, all right then.
Nice. Very cool. What's the other custom you have, Brian, from me?
I was going to try and customize a Rolling Thunder into basically a Hammerhead Mark II.
What the hell is the matter with you?
Oh, right, yes.
Shit, wow. That's ambitious.
I got a real good deal on a Rolling Thunder, and I don't have all the parts that I need, and they're not easy to find, so it kind of really fell by the wayside, but I asked Sean to make me a pilot for the thing.
That's right, and I made a character I called Bull Shark.
Yep.
All right, I remember now.
Yes, I don't even remember seeing pictures of this thing.
I don't think I posted it.
I was going to say, that would be why I missed it.
I was going to post it when I finished the vehicle, and man, I never even got started on it.
Oh, okay, then.
That's the one I painted the helmet to look like a shark's open mouth.
Yes, like nose art from a World War II plane.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Hey, post a picture of the custom, even if the vehicle never happens.
Yeah, I'll see. I know where that is. I'll have to dig it out. I saw it a couple weeks ago when I was going through all my old stuff. I have the part, have the vehicle, and then I was going to use the engines off of the Terminator that flies. I don't remember what model Terminator.
The Hunter Killer thing.
No, yeah, it's the one with the VTOL engines on it.
Yeah, the Hunter Killer.
Is it the Hunter Killer? Yeah, so I lost like one of the engines, so I only have one now. And those were the engines I was going to use on it. I was going to put it on where the gun platforms used to go on the sides, and then they were on clearance at Kmart, and I forgot to go get one, and then I've never seen them again, and they're like insane on eBay the last time I checked. And I never finish vehicle customs anymore, so.
I did a vehicle custom for my client. He sent me a Coors Jeep. I did a Coors Jeep a few years ago, and he really liked it. So he wanted me to make him one, and he wanted it in white.
Oh.
And it's, I got to say, I'm patting myself on the back, but it looks beautiful.
Excellent.
And then I sent him pictures, and he's like, okay, now can you weather it?
And no.
I'm just, I don't want to, because the white paint looks so crisp and so beautiful, and I have to weather it, and I keep putting it off simply because I don't want to mess up the paint.
Don't. No. Tell him if he wants it weathered. Tell him to do it himself.
I'll do it. I just got to get up the guts to do it.
Yeah, and that's tough. I mean, JD and I were talking about yellow today and how much everybody hates yellow and orange.
Well, because that
and white is right up
bomber
there.
Gear, you know, it's flash, but the pads on his arms, legs, and torso, they're yellow. So I bought some yellow paint, completely forgetting not only that yellow paint is difficult to paint with, but I forgot how maddening it is to have to put coat upon coat upon coat upon coat on it. And then when it still comes out uneven, I'd just forgotten how much I hated yellow paint. And
yeah,
after Bombardier's done, I'm not using yellow paint anymore. So
I'm with you on yellow. I hate yellow. But you had mentioned orange. You know what I do for orange? I've actually come to really like doing orange because I just mix the Games Workshop yellow and red and make my own, and it goes on coat. Huh. And it's
that's
perfect
pretty cool.
Every time.
Ah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it is a good idea.
Because if I try to use the Games Workshop orange, then I go through that coat after coat after coat. But when I mix it myself, it's always one coat.
Nice. I'll have to remember that. As I was trying to make, I started doing Star Wars customs again. I made a Twi'lek not too long ago, and I was going to do same figure with Mandal. It's a female, obviously, and I was going to do her in Mandalorian armor, and her skin tone is light green, so I looked on a color wheel to see what the opposite is, and it was orange, and I'm like, oh, man, because I wanted the armor to contrast with their skin.
Right.
I was like, orange,
make
really?
Yourself.
Fuck. And it looked really good, and then I tried to get fancy with it, and then it just got, it looked like shit, so I'm like, I'm done.
That reminds me, I'm working on I have my All That Remains zombie universe, and I decided to start a second universe, and I'm doing a sci-fi universe, but it's all, this one's going to be all original. There's not going to be any crossing over, because all the other crossover stuff is already happening in my All That Remains. I mean, Dan Kosa made it so that I can introduce Star Wars into it and the whole nine.
If you're going to do crazy shit like that, Dan Coase is the only one to talk to about it.
Yeah, definitely.
We talk almost every day.
That guy is a fountain of creativity like I've never witnessed in anybody else before.
Yeah, I remember some of the stuff that he used to come up with a long time ago. It's like, I wouldn't even know where to have started on that.
The stuff he takes stuff that I would have just tossed.
Totally.
And turned it into, like, really great, interesting thing.
Yeah, he uses parts that he would send to JD just to get rid of.
I was lucky enough to go over to his house one day and see his room, like his man cave toy room. And was just blown away by the sheer number of figures that he's done.
Oh, I can't even imagine. I thought I've done a lot, but I know he's got me by.
Well, the thing is, he's also not limited. Like, his range of interests and the number of properties that he customizes from numbers in the thousands. Like, I mean, he had, like, Stargate and Masters of the Universe and
Pirates of the Caribbean.
You know, he had G.I. Joe, and he had all of the, he had like, I think Dune is in there, and I think he's, you know, he's got some of the cartoons and stuff in there. I know he's got Elf, he's got Lord of the Rings in there, because he was making like that goblin army, and that dude, and he's one of those people that his grasp, like his reach and the grasp are equal. Like he, it's not one of those where he comes up with a good idea and falls short. No, hell no. The guy's follow through, his vision, like the way he makes it come alive. It's just, it works. And I'm just like, dude, wow. So yeah, if you've got some crazy properties that you don't know how to fit them together, well, he's the guy you go to.
So what are you going to do in this new sci-fi verse then?
You know, that's, I'm not really sure. I have a lot of, the way it came about was I just have a lot of fodder. And I decided because of the baby and we're in the middle of trying to buy a house and all this, I'm trying not to spend any money on toys.
Right.
And going through my fodder, I was putting together stuff for my ATR universe and then coming up with these figures that just didn't look like they'd fit. They were just too sci-fi. And so I decided, screw it, I'm going to start a sci-fi verse, and I want it to be totally original, and I'm trying to make it not based on anything that's existed. So I'm trying to come up with ideas and concepts that are just really different from the stuff I grew up with in sci-fi, and I don't want anybody to go, oh, you stole that from this, or you took that from that. I want to get to the hard science of it, and really create some new worlds and new characters and new dimensions that just
work. I suggest, if you want to avoid any sort of angry fanboy bullshit like that, don't show them off. that's my advice. Well, show them off to your friends that actually understand where you're coming from, but one of those things where the general public they won't get it. They'll pull out some reference to some obscure anime thing, and they'll be like, just like that. You'll be like, I've never heard of that. They'll be like, just like it. Shut up. I don't even know where you'd start, because I'm one of those people that thinks, man, how many ideas are out there that haven't been tapped yet? I don't know.
See, now I was trying to do something similar as well. It's funny that you're doing that, because I started my own, like, sci-fi verse kind of thing. I haven't gotten, you know, like too much of a backstory in it. I've gotten three customs finished for it, and I like how they came out. And I've got another two built, but I'm kind of stuck on the paint on one, and the other one I still need a head for. And then, you know, it's just, then I set stuff down, and I forget I'm working on it, and then completely space it out.
Yeah. Well, what I did is I just started with one ship, and I created a crew for one ship, and that came about because I got a piece of packing material and something that I bought, and I was like, wow, that the way it's laid out, that could be a cool cockpit, and I was like, that's it, I'm going to make it, I'm going to customize this piece of packing material into the cockpit of a ship, now I need a crew, and it's just kind of going out from there.
I think that's awesome. I think one of my favorite
toys
that I had as a kid was the styrofoam packing that the ceiling fan came in when I was a kid.
Hey, styrofoam was the best thing to play with when you were a kid. It could be anything.
Oh yeah,
it could be a spaceship. It could be a fortress.
The way it was laid out, it was awesome. It was perfect for like the spaceship, and it was like one of my favorite toys until it just like fell apart from being used so much.
Yeah.
No, of course, they always say the best toy you can give the neighborhood is a cardboard refrigerator box. You put that outside, and every kid around the block will be playing with it. So,
I got a big box from Amazon a while back, and my daughter found it and decided that she wanted to play with it. So I taught her how to make it a rocket ship, and she would get inside and zoom around. And then I taught her, she turned it another way, it could be a fort, and that's her favorite thing in the world now.
Nice. Well, yeah. Well, it's funny because every kid, you know, most kids 3 and under or sometimes even foreign under. Sometimes, you know, they get all this cool stuff for Christmas, and half the time they like the stuff that's in there, but man, you give them the boxes and they're just as interested. I'm like, huh, just really wrap up an empty box. There you go.
Yeah.
Definitely. What other questions did you have, JD?
Well, because I know you got to go soon.
Yeah.
So really, I was just gonna say, plug your stuff. Tell people where to find you on Facebook.
Yeah, definitely.
Tell people give out the address to your All That Remains website and all that, and we'll get you back on the show at some point.
Excellent. Well, so my page is allthatremainsbeyond.com, and that's where you can find the story that I'm writing that goes with it and all the dossiers for the characters. I always invite, you know, anybody who's a fan, if you like it and you want to add to it, you know, become a member of the page and create a character and get them into the universe.
Awesome.
I'm always open to that. On Facebook, you can find me under SG Capers Customs. SGCAPER'S Customs.
Sean, are Buffy and Angel included in your little ATR verse?
No, because I never got into that.
Huh. Oh, okay. I had an idea.
There, bring them in. If you got an idea, bring them in. I didn't do it.
Yeah, my wife watched that, so she watched, like, she binge watched that, like, 5 or 6 years ago, so. I've heard, like, every episode, because she would watch it while I was customizing, so.
I did a Buffy rewatch earlier in the year, just to see if and a partial Angel rewatch. Really, I was just curious if it still held up, and most of it still does. So that's why I wondered, because if this idea goes anywhere, I wanted to make sure it wasn't something that you'd already done.
Go for it.
Huh. All right.
And
keep that in mind.
Just if you want to plug what your commissions, your everybody has like ground rules for commissions. If you want to throw those out there, we're cool with that too. Go ahead and pimp yourself out, man.
Cool. So commissions, my prices are high, and a lot of people are turned off by that, but they start at 50 and go up. I require a 50% non-refundable deposit, and that covers any parts that I have to put out for to make sure I don't get, you know, burned on the other side. It usually takes me 3 to 4 months to get a commission done, just because I'm a teacher. I'm up at 4:30 in the morning. I don't get home until 6. I got a daughter and a wife, so customs come last. Other than that, I'll send you whip picks as I go, and then make sure you're liking what I'm doing. And if you don't, I'll fix it the way you want it.
Oh, puppy, it's wound.
There we go.
Excellent. And what's your rate start at?
It starts at 50 and it goes up from there, depending on complexity and difficult. If I have the parts on hand versus if I have to buy them.
I think those are completely reasonable rates. I wouldn't say those are high at all. I mean, it might be high for people that are used to buying $10 action figures in the store, but for a custom, I think that is a completely reasonable rate. I start off at 50 myself. And then my rates the layout's a little different, but it's the same, basically the same. It's 50 for a loose figure, $100 for a carded figure, plus whatever I got to spend on parts.
Right.
So I think those parts prices are completely reasonable.
Hey, I agree with you, but you'd be surprised how many people send me hey, how much do you charge? And I tell them, and then they start cursing me out, telling me I should only charge them $20 or this, that. I feel like it's like any artist, you know, you got those people who are just like, if you're a musician, oh, come play for the exposure or do this.
Right.
It's like, oh, pay me for my talent, because that's what it is. It's a talent.
Yep. I have to agree with that completely. You know, we're not, that's like the worst thing to say to an artist is do it for the exposure. You know, I mean, that's one of the things I used to get as a photographer is like, you know, do it to get your pictures out there. It's like, no, you pay me for this. This is, no, I don't, if you're, you know, it's like the Joker says, if you're good at something, never do it for free.
Absolutely.
So, all right. I know that your time is limited, so we will not take you away from your family and your customs for any longer. So thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Sean. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, it's definitely finally nice to talk. Well, I've talked to you once before, but it's nice to have you on the show finally.
Well, let's do it more often. Let's chat. And we got to get you out here for a con, Brian. You got to come out to New York Comic Con.
I know. I would die. I would love to come out for New York Comic Con sometime.
Yeah, you got to do it.
Definitely.
All right. Well, good talking with you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, not at all. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, anytime. Anytime you want.
Excellent. And once again, we thank our buddy Sean for being on. He's been a friend of ours. Geez, I don't know, probably at least 10 years. And if you're looking at your podcast counter right now, you'll see that the show is only like 45 minutes long, and you're going, what the hell is this? This isn't our regular General Geekery show. But you're right. This is a two-for-one. We have probably, this is probably going to be our best show, I'll have to say, by far, because we have two of the most knowledgeable customizers on. And that second person on tonight is my buddy Jimbo, who, again, I've been friends with for, geez, I don't know, probably close to 10 years as well. And
I think that's about right.
Yeah. And he customizes as many different things and has a knowledge base that is second to none. So, Jimbo, I don't know how we did not ever have you on any of the other podcasts that we've done before. But we are going to rectify that oversight tonight.
Epic failure squared.
Totally.
Everybody gets to the bottom of the barrel at some point, right?
Exactly. You know, we asked a bunch of people, they said no, and I'm like, hey, Jimbo will do it. Jimbo will do anything. I met Jimbo in person. My wife and I went down for a G.I. Joe convention in Texas, and that's how I met Jimbo.
Down in Dallas.
Dallas, yes.
Yep. I want to say that was, what, 2007, was it?
Probably 2006, 2007, before I went to Afghanistan, I know that.
I'm like, yeah, it was a while ago. Man.
So, yeah, so definitely a long time.
And I still plan on taking you up on your invite to go crash on your couch in Colorado.
Yeah, totally, man. Totally.
I ain't forgotten about it.
Sweet. We would love to have you sometime. It'd be great to see you again. And then I went to saw Jimbo again when I did some of my my training for overseas stuff in Houston. Went to see Jimbo again. So, geez, I don't even know where to start with this. I mean, again, we asked Sean, we ask everybody, all the customizers, this because everybody has a unique story unto themselves, and that is, what got you into customizing?
Pretty much the same as everyone else, I bet. That easy three screw assembly on G.I. Joe, man. You know?
It's like that's pretty much how it goes.
Away or nothing, so it's like, unscrew me.
Yep, mix the parts around, make different characters. And my favorite gimmick to do when I was a kid, if you ever watch the Sunbow cartoon, every other episode, one of the Joes is getting in a Cobra disguise. So at some point during the episode, you see him running around without the helmet and the mask. and it'll just be the Joe wearing the Cobra uniform. And that was one of my storytelling gimmicks every time I played. Like, somebody was always, you know, you unscrew the figure, you take the head off, you pop a Joe head on there, and you got the, you know, you got him in their disguise, and they were always running around as
Son of a bitch, this one's a ball neck, but the Cobra Trooper's the one of the swivel necks. Son of a bitch!
Well, yeah, that's why you gotta go with the Crimson Guards, or the Vipers, or the Gyro Vipers, or...
Or, that's when you go, hey, I wonder if, you know, I could use a knife to make this work. Yeah, that's where you really get started with custom.
Yeah,
no, definitely. If only I could have done that at 8 years old without chopping my fingers.
Well, I was just going to say, we'd be calling you Lefty right now or something.
Pretty much. Although, I did have a lot of the Joes that got dressed up as Iron Grenadiers, so.
There you go. And you pretty much, Grogan had, we were talking to Grogan, and he's got his, like, multiverse kind of thing, and you kind of, are you still doing your kind of multiverse thing then, or?
I still create stuff with that mindset, but I don't really create the web pages anymore because I lost my I lost all my files and whatnot. It's just, oh shit, I don't feel like creating all that.
I still
you know write the character bios as if they're all in the same universe.
Okay, all right, folks, if you've never read Adrian Veidt's stuff, when he says character bios, what he means is more like
novel.
It's more like what you'd see in like a service record. It's like the text is like pages and pages worth of trivia. I mean, these bios are so extensive that if you don't understand everything that's in it, it's simply because his knowledge base is much deeper than yours.
Totally.
My goal is basically to recreate the old Marvel handbook, you know, the file entries or whatnot that they had for all the characters. And it's just, you know, instead of having, you know, a drawing by John Byrne or whoever, it's a photograph of my cousin. Yeah. And it's not just the Marvel characters, it's everybody I'm doing.
Yeah, and the scope of the characters that you've had in this multiverse is phenomenal. I mean,
I can't tell you how many characters I had never heard of before I saw your customs, and then I read up on them. I'm like, you know, and I learned something every time. And even characters I did know, I learned all kinds of stuff from reading your bios, because I'm like, there's literally nothing this guy doesn't know.
Thank you. I get really comfortable with this kind of praise. Like, honestly, half the time, when I'm doing the actual figure, I'm thinking through the story and whatnot, just replaying what I know of the character, right? Thinking of other angles or whatnot. You know, just remembering, hey, this was a cool ass comic that I read from the guy, or that was a cool ass episode of this show, or whatever. And honestly, most of the time, as I'm posting the pictures, is when I'm finally actually writing it out. I don't do any editing or anything like that. It's basically stream of consciousness and just slap it right out.
I think that's awesome. Honestly, that totally defines our podcast, the stream of consciousness.
I don't find it hard because, you know, the creators of all these various properties that we all love, you know, they feed on each other. Right?
Right,
they're all, you know, basically taking the same ideas, tweaking them, and everything. So, you know, all this stuff that we love it because a lot of it's got a lot of the same similarities in it already. All I'm really doing is just noticing, hey, you know, this is the same idea, this thing over here. And, you know, I don't find it really all that hard. Is that bragging?
No, not at all.
No, it's not bragging when it's justified.
So can you give an example of just like the depth of your character? I mean, just like start spitting out characters that you've customs that you've made for this specific version. I mean, just like from mainstream to esoteric.
Oh shit. That
hurt. Yeah. Well, you know what? One of my favorites is your bio for the Cobra Crimson Guard. So you can start there.
Oh, okay, yeah. The Crimson Guard are actually the secret power behind Cobra Command. Cobra Command is a facade. You know, when they're all out there saying, you know, fight the power, and then, you know, we're gonna you know, bring down the governments that are really controlling you and all that, that's all horseshit, man. That's just the cover story. Because what they really want to do is you know, rule you even worse, right? The Crimson Guard, actually a thousands of years old cabal of European aristocracy, going all the way back to Julius Caesar's Praetorian Guard. They get their name, the Crimson Guard, as you know, as they rushed into the forum and picked up his bloody body, and they passed his body around, his blood stained their armor. So they started calling themselves the Crimson Guard in secret. And, you know, they made the secret vow to never let the will of the ignorant populace, the senators and whatnot, you know, usurp the will of the justly strong again, right? So, you know, over these millennia since then, they've been weaving themselves and their families into the houses of royalty throughout Europe. And they had their heyday in the Middle Ages when, you know, they got what they wanted. They were ruling everything, and, you know, they were oppressing people left and right and making them serfs that were literally enslaved to the land that the various aristocrats ruled, right? But now, you know, we get to the modern age, and there's this pesky shit called democracy that's throwing their plans all around. So one of these guys, the high ranking in the guard, he's all like, you know, fuck this shit, man. And my ancestors had it so much better when, you know, they just like pointed some asshole and say, he dies. And, hey, he died. That was awesome. I want that. I want some of that myself. So he creates this organization called Cobra Command. It's a cover organization to recruit all these soldiers because, you know, he can't do it all himself. The houses of European aristocracy are pretty damn weak and pathetic nowadays. It's, you know, half of them are in hock, and, you know, they've had all their family holdings and whatnot taken over by their local governments and shit. So he basically raises a mercenary army, and he tells them, keep what you kill, and, you know, we'll fund ourselves by what we steal and whatnot, and we're gonna, you know, take back power for ourselves kind of shit, right? And, pardon? And, basically, this one guy, he's got this deep-seated resentment of wanting the power for himself. He looks back on his ancestors and all like, it should all be mine. You know, my ancestors, you know, there was a time when you know, the sun never set on my empire, and I want that back, right? So this guy, he's getting older. He's resenting that his mother is still sitting on the throne, even though she's like, you know, 80 years old, and she just won't give up the throne. She won't die. And he can't, like, offer up because, you know, that's going to look bad and shit. So he creates this secret arm. And basically, this cover story that Cobra Commander used to be a used car salesman, that's bullshit. Because Cobra Commander is actually, in logic, it's obviously Prince Charles, right?
Right.
He's the schmuck in public. Everybody, you know, looked at him, goofy, jug-eared fool. You know, his wife cheated on him. You know, his grandmother, mom is still sitting on the throne and shit. You know, he's the planet's joke, right? But he knows in secret he has the blood of conquerors in his veins. And, you know, he's going to make the whole fucking world rue the embarrassment that he's had to suffer his whole life. So, yeah, he's Cobra Commander's totally Prince Charles.
Sweet. And that's just, like, one facet. I mean, it just the amazing.
I really
got to
make a figure of that, right? Where can I get a Prince Charles there? That would be awesome.
I don't know, man. That's where I'm hoping, like, 3D printing comes into its own at some point in time. I don't think it's there yet, but I think it's coming.
Well, think of it this way. Over the years, Hasbro in the Star Wars line has done some excellent head sculpts, and they've done some pretty shitty ones. So you could probably find one that looks like nobody in particular, but with a little bit of paint, maybe you could fake it as Prince Charles. Because in what you've just described, he's going to fulfill a purpose there that he will never fill in the real world, because he's never going to get it to be king the rate the queen's going, and he's just kind of a goof.
Yeah, which is the exact perfect cover. You know?
Totally. No, I love it. That's brilliant. I mean, like I said, it's just one facet. I mean, some of the stuff that I recall specifically that you've done is some of your Batman stuff too. The vehicles that you've done. I mean, you've done like every vehicle that he's ever had, and then some.
I tried to do multiple. Yeah, he's a rich boy. He collects stuff. You know, anytime he sees something, he's like, "Ooh, that would look really cool in matte black." Oh yeah, you know. Let's see. I did the Bat Tumbler. I took the Tyco RC one and gutted it, and just basically carved a hatch in the top. Spray painted the Joe Avalanche snow tank. Made that a bat tank. Actually, my friend Rodney Liftoff on the Joe Customs forum. We went to a con here in Houston a couple months back, and he bought me a junk Earthquake, $5. And I'm really wanting to get one of those third-party transformers that I could bash this thing onto as a shell and then spray paint the whole fucking thing black and make it, a Batman that Ian Robin drive around and it stands up and just starts pounding the shit out of it.
That'd be awesome.
I have no idea of how to find an appropriate transformer that would work the way this thing needs to work. So, yeah. I'm calling out to everybody. Any ideas, let me know.
I've made one transformer custom, and that was my Tumbler Ironhide. And I used the Voyager class Ironhide, and I just basically took a Tumbler part and dashed parts onto it. I mean, it doesn't transform, but it looks really cool.
Mine has to transform.
Yeah. And that's definitely something that's above my skill level, is getting something to transform. So,
well, if I'm thinking the way this thing is built, that one of the old Generation 1 Autobot cars where the rear fenders and back hood are basically the flip around boots.
Ah, yeah.
And then the front engine area, the hood and all that stuff, just flips down to be the chest, and the arms fold out from under where the engine would be. If I could find something that transforms like that, that's like a foot tall, and then I could just put the Earthquake shell on top of the car parts of that transformer, I think it would work.
I think that's a good idea. See, I think that's probably where I get lost is the transformers nowadays are so complex that it's like,
yeah,
I try and emulate that, and it's like, you know what, fuck it, this thing's not going to transform, it's just in robot mode, and that's how it's going to be.
This thing could, if I could just find the right one. I know it could. There's plenty of room underneath it for mechy bits and shit. And it's got that hinge in the middle, which would be a perfect break point for the flip around feet and the chest and all that shit. I know it could work. It's just,
the Transformers, they exist in the same universe as G.I. Joe for me. Right. I don't have all that many of them. And what I do have, if they start out in vehicle mode in the package, they tend to go into robot mode and they don't go back, because part of it's a lack of patience and part of it's because the transformers that they make now, they're really elaborate, and their transformations sometimes have these quirks in them that I find to be a little bit frustrating. But the idea of actually doing a custom that could transform makes me want to die. I've got one of the big transformers they have out, not the huge ones, but like the $25 ones. And right. Honestly, I transformed it a couple times. I'm like, well, that's enough of that. I love the characters, and that's why they coexist with Joe. That's why, like, what the club's doing right now, where they've got that set with Cobra Commander and Scarlet and Dr. What's-Her-Name with Transformers. I love sets like that and the stuff they were doing for Comic-Con, even though I've only got, I think, two of those sets. I love that kind of stuff. And see, I'm not one that minds that the His Tank that they made into Shockwave or the jet that they made into
Starscream.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind that those characters or that the vehicles don't transform, because to me, I like the way it's like, well, that's clearly the character, the Transformer that they intended it to be. And if I really wanted a robot mode, I'd just really find one that, you know, find an actual Transformer figure that's similar in scale. And then it's like, hey, there's the before and there's the after. But that's not really for any reason other than I need the character represented, but I don't have the budget to, you know, to be able to necessarily buy, both forms. I mean, that Jetfire that they did, which I don't have, but at some point I'd like to get that set. Jetfire, the one that they made a couple years ago, was really, it was as big as just about that, you know, that thing to, as the vehicle, you know, they were comparable in size, so that'd be a perfect way to say this is the robot mode, that's the vehicle mode. But I like that the way you describe these things, it's a lot of this stuff coexisting, but on like a grand scale. Like the stuff you do has like the Crisis on Infinite Earths and the Secret Wars and things like that. Those are like minor skirmishes in comparison to this expansive mythology that you have. I mean, I like your explanation on the Hulk, that the way to describe the various scales that we've seen him drawn in and portrayed over the years in the movies is the bigger, the angrier he gets, the larger he gets.
Well, that's not my idea. That's straight out of the comic.
Well, that's not anything that, I mean, I've read lots of Hulk comics, but that isn't one that was breached. That was broached in any of the ones I read. So even if it's not your idea, you're the one that introduced me to it. And I until one of your customs about 6 or 7 years ago when you described it, and you used the word greeblies to describe all this random stuff that you put on this vehicle, I'd never heard that word before, and now I really like that word. So, because I went and I looked it up, I'm like, huh, you didn't make that word up. That's a legitimate trivia word.
I heard that on Starship Modelers site, you know, where they do, you know, like basically with action figures, but they do, like, spaceships and jazz.
Those guys are insane.
I would say those are the guys that kind of do what George Lucas's crew was doing for Star Wars, where they take all these little pieces and they put them together and they build these ships.
That's something Adam Savage was doing for a while.
Speaking of Adam Savage, I saw something on Facebook yesterday that they posted that he made a prop replica of Zorg's blaster from
Fifth Element.
Fifth Element, dude. That was amazing.
He does a lot of prop replica stuff. Go to his YouTube channel. It's called Tested, and check out some of the shit that he makes. It's amazing.
Now does his Zerg ZF1? I think it was. I just saw that like about an hour or so ago. Does it actually shoot and shit?
I have no idea.
I haven't watched the video. I've just seen pictures of it.
I mean, I wouldn't think so, but I don't know. The dude's an engineering genius, so it might. I was watching the show on AMC with Kevin Smith and Greg Grunberg called Geeking Out. And there's a lot of fluff on the show, but they had Adam Savage on, and on the show he whipped up a prop replica of Rey's staff from The Force Awakens, and I mean it's a time lapse video, and they said it takes about 4 hours to put together, but he took the starting piece like the metal pipe or whatever that they started with, and you know, he added all the stuff. He painted it, spray painted it, and he made it look just like the staff from the movie. I'm like, God damn.
Yeah, the stuff that he does is amazing. He's made the gun from Blade Runner, he made Han Solo's pistol. Just the stuff that he does is phenomenal. But
that's so cool. And basically, Jim, you're one of the customizers. You do that with your, you know, like when you're making a vehicle custom. I mean, you whip this stuff together and you make it look easy.
Oh, I know.
It's not. So, yeah, it's not. Not really.
No, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Most of my collection is about like 80% rips, because you know I rarely finish something. It's not as
dude, I have nothing but respect for that, because the fact is the intent is there and the idea is there, and even if you don't finish it to photograph it, you know, you can look at it and say, well, that's what that's going to be, and it's still it works. I mean, you know what? If I considered all of my whip customs to be actual legitimate figures, dude, my over the years, my collection would have been double the size.
Oh, I know.
So.
Maybe I should take pictures of this this prototype puddle jumper I was making out of the cabin of the Razorback and one of those old 5-inch floppy disk, you know, sorting trays that I had. Yeah, maybe I should take pictures of that. See how impressed you are.
Yeah,
that.
Dude, I'd like to see it.
Yeah, definitely. And that was going to be one of the questions I was going to ask is, what are you working on right now?
Right now, I have a few things that are always eternally whipped that I actually plan on making progress with. A lot of it is centered around Vitruvian hacks. I've basically exhausted my supply of blanks from my all-in package, so I'm having to get new stuff in dribs and drabs. I just put in an order for a black male blank that I plan to use the old McFarlane Monsters playset, the mummy one. I'm going to see if I can make Anubis out of those bits.
Nice.
Cool.
I got one of the skeleton warriors, the earthen one, earthen colored ones a couple months ago, and I got an idea to make Pluto with it, and I just bought a Marvel Universe Hercules, do that. Going to see if I can bash the skull, the hands, and the feet on the Hercules, give him a black hood and then like a black floor-length skirt, and then paint him all the chest and whatnot that'll be exposed, paint all that like chalk white, and you know, try to make him look like death as he should be.
Nice.
And I really like the idea of like his bony toes pointing out from underneath the floor-length skirt. What I would do with the leftover bits from the skeleton warrior is I was upgrading the hobbit figure Bold, the big orc guy, wanting to prep him for the fantasy series of Green Hacks that are coming early next year, hopefully make him like a super orc. I was bashing him onto MU Ares, giving some better articulation and whatnot, basically making the same guy. I was thinking I could use the leftover bits from the Skeleton Warrior to make some more weapons for him. I got Let's see if I can look around and see what falls under my gaze. I still got that that super articulated Ed 209 that I need to send Brian to paint. I promised all those years ago and never put it in a box.
Oh, I completely forgot about that.
I bashed him with one of the like $20 Transformers that turns into a dump truck from like I think the second movie. So he's got like fully posable arms and legs and all that shit. Looks cool. It's just, you know, yellow and gray instead of, you know, the proper color he should be. See, I got my friend Rodney. He found me one of the Playmation MODOKs. You know, the video game ones. You stick on the pedestal and then the character's in the game for you. He found me the MODOK. And I'm basically upgrading him to have a fully articulated body.
Nice.
And I'm I think there's in one of the comics, Agents of Hate, he has like little children. I'm making a couple of children out of Mega Bloks.
Excellent.
Let's see what else I got here.
What would you say your favorite custom is that you've done? Yeah, nobody said it was going to be an easy one tonight, man. We asked the tough questions here.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Hey, we put you on the spot because we'd warn you about it, but we have no idea we're going to ask. So.
Exactly.
Honestly, I don't. Okay, yeah, actually, in all honesty, it'd have to be the Fantastic Four Flying Bathtub.
Oh, I was wondering if you were going to say that.
I was going to say, that's one of my favorites. I love it.
Yeah, honestly.
Start out with a Lego base or some crazy shit like that.
Yep.
I built the frame and the connector portions out of it with Legos and everything, so it would be, you know, I guarantee that everything would size up properly. And I covered it all with plexiglass and shit, plexi sheeting. But honestly, I was really, really surprised and impressed with myself when I actually finished the fucker. And that was one of the first ones that I like built log in public with everybody.
Dude, that was fascinating to watch come together.
Yeah, I remember watching that.
Honestly, you guys helped me finish that. So, yeah, thank you, everybody that said, dude, you can do it. Yay, rah, rah. Thank you, cheerleaders.
Jim, I think you are the only person who's ever made a custom of the flying bathtub, too.
I think I saw one on Whoosh with the 6-inch figures where they took the one that came with Mr. Fantastic and they tried to build the whole thing out of it.
But yeah, but that's not the same thing.
It didn't look good because they were, you know, flying around with their knees up in their noses and shit. Yeah, I've got ideas. I need to, you know, refocus on it and whatnot. I've got ideas for a whole second bathtub where all the parts would mix in. So basically I could have like, you know, 16 modules all hooking up together to build like this big fucking intergalactic flying bathtub.
Holy shit.
Nice.
Yeah. And then I also love Burns' run on the Fantastic Four. That's like probably my favorite run on comics ever. It was just awesome. I want to build the time sled that Simonson gave them, Rosebud 2. I want to build that. Yeah. I still got to finish my Johnny Storm.
Finish your what's that?
Johnny Storm? I haven't even finished the team, I'd say, much less the vehicle.
Yeah, but you have the bathtub, and that's the important part, really.
Yeah, I made Alicia Masters before I went Johnny Storm.
Well, but you could say that you made Alicia Masters because Hasbro wasn't gonna ever.
Yeah.
But they made fucking Herbie lame.
Right.
Are you? How many of the X-Men and the Avengers have you done? I mean, I know you've done like the basic stuff, like Wolverine, but I mean, like, how many? Like, if you had to put a number out, how many Avengers do you think you've gotten to?
Not a whole lot, really. When it comes to, you know, people you know, if somebody puts out a figure of that person, I will try to tweak it, but I rarely, like, try to, you know, do it from scratch.
That's a lot of what I do. I get the figures I want, and if it's not, I don't want to say that it's not as good as it could be, but if there's something that I just think could have been done a little better, that's a lot of my collection is custom tweaked figures. It's not, you know, I change a leg or change a head or paint it or something. But there are Avengers that you have just outright customized. Did you do a Vision custom? I want to say you did like a really cool Vision or something. Maybe it's not Vision.
I don't think I've ever done the Vision.
It's funny because two Vision action, the one Vision action figure that I have in my collection, I've gotten from Jimbo.
It wasn't the Vision. I don't know. There was one. It was an Android. I'm thinking. I don't know, but man, you do good work. Your process just fascinates me.
Shit, I'm trying to think.
You know what? I'm gonna go look it up. Hang on.
He's looking that up. What is the one custom that you would like to do but haven't done yet? Something maybe it's above your, what you consider above your skill level, or the parts don't exist, or just the one that's like, man, I fucking need a custom of this.
Well, like everybody, I haven't done really. I really, really, really love Matt Wagner's work in comics. I love Grendel Prime. Grendel Prime is
the
coolest motherfucker ever in comics, you know. I did a Grendel Prime back in the New Sculpt Joe days.
I remember that.
Really liked. I did the bike. I did, you know, Little Jupiter Asante. Did all of that good stuff. But
I remember that really bike. Oh, yeah, that blew me away.
Modern standards.
That was one of my favorite comic books in high school. Was that?
High school? God damn! How fuck old are you?
Fuck you all! Fuck you all! I'm flipping off the computer right now, just so everybody knows.
High school, Jesus.
Yes, I was in high school when that came out.
Bastard! I think I got years older than you, man.
What's that?
But I got pubes older than you.
That's all right. I think I may have been in middle school, maybe, when that came out.
Yeah, we definitely got an age disparity this evening, but that's all right.
That whole universe needs figures. Grendel Prime, Jupiter, both as a kid, and, you know, as he takes the throne. Ryan Asante needs a fucking figure. Everybody in that damn universe. Mage too.
Yeah, no, that bike, yeah, it just like took me back. I'm like, oh man. Because that was something that I wish they had back then. That was the biggest thing for me when I was really into comic books back then. Was like, I wish there was action figures for these characters.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, there was nothing. Back then, you know, the Marvel figures that were available were like the Secret Wars and the real cheesy...
The 90s Toy Biz stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, it was the best you could get. And I remember when that, like, Toy Biz 90s... Iron Man came out that had like the snap-on armor, and I thought that was just like the coolest thing ever. And I look back on it now, I'm like, that is the biggest piece of shit I've ever seen in my life. And I don't have that figure in my collection, honest, at this point in time.
Which figure was that again?
There was a 90s Toy Biz Iron Man that had snap-on armor.
Yeah, there was a whole line of that.
Oh yeah, no, that was... this was in its line with other Marvel superheroes. There was Punisher. I'm sure Spider-Man. The card back looked like kind of newsprinty.
Yeah, okay, you're talking about that very, very first wave of stuff, like right after they lost the Batman movie license?
Yes.
Yeah, it was basically like superpowers articulation?
Yes. They had a couple of 12-inch figures, and then they had a bunch of like 4-inch figures.
And then they had like those 6-inch ones that would like transform and Punisher's dick flipped out to be a gun barrel.
Yep.
Yeah. Good times.
Totally, right? I don't have that Iron Man figure in my collection at this right now, and that's like one of the few Iron Man figures I don't own. But yeah, no, those Toy Biz ones that you were talking about, yeah, those look awesome on the package, but the second you get them out, yeah, then they're just like, yeah.
Back in those days, the like middle chunk of the 90s, I was in the Navy living up in Philadelphia, and you know, I was watching the G.I. Joe line, you know, die on the racks and shit, but I was still hoarding figures just to, you know, make sure that I would have stuff to work with. And this was when I discovered, you know, model kits from Japan. So it was like
this, oh, man.
You know, little import shop a few blocks north of where I lived in downtown Philly. And I would find all those very early model kits and 90s where they were like, you know, fully posable and shit, and I was bashing all of those things on the G.I. Joe, give them, you know, fucked up, you know, weirdo mecha Joe shit, whatever, and then all of that shit's been destroyed or thrown away and shit now. You know, that's where I really, really cut my teeth on, you know, how to work an X-Acto and don't use tester's paints, you know, up the plastic underneath your fingers. Sure.
What brand of paints cool do you use now?
Sorry?
What brand of paints do you like to use now?
I'm not a brand whore. I'll use whatever's there, that as long as it's water based, it's the shade I need or want, you know, I'll give it a try. I'm cheap lately, so I'm getting a lot of the stuff from Michaels, Americana brand and all that shit. And you know, as long as I put enough sealant on them, they're fine.
Man. I would say I've tried those paints, but it seems like no matter what kind of stuff I tried to seal it with, it was just, I'd look at it too long and it would chip off, and I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
The Americana brand has an ultra matte Duraclear sealant that really? I'm absolutely loving. It gets a little, once it starts drying out, getting a little old, it gets a little thick and milky looking. But up until then, I love it. It's the best dull coat sealant I've ever used. And it's like $1.50 per 2 ounce bottle and shit. Love it. So give that a try.
Huh? Yeah. You know what? I will try that because their selection of colors. I mean, even Citadel and the other, they have a good selection. Nothing compared to those things, but. Nothing compared to the craft store stuff, but as I said, some of it is just so brittle, but yeah, I'll try that stuff.
You gotta relearn a few things because they are cheaper plastics in the paint, you know? You gotta give them a little more leeway and shit. You know, the typical issues with white and yellow and red, sometimes you got to put like 5 or 6 coats down to get some good coverage. You know, you may want to put down the dull coat first before you start painting so it has something to grab onto.
That's an interesting solution because sometimes I used to use like the fine sandpaper just enough to, not enough that you'd see the texture, just enough to
give it some grip.
But, you know, sometimes...
That's why I primer all my stuff.
Sometimes I've found that you do a little bit of sanding. You know, don't sand the whole thing. Basically, you sand the flat parts where you're pretty sure, you know, it's going to chip off. And then I do a light primer over it, and then I paint. But, man, sometimes...
See,
Sometimes even then, it's not enough. Sometimes you still got the paint chipping.
What I've gotten into the habit of is, you know, doing so much work to the figure itself before I get the paint. You know, I will be absolutely savage with filing down the joints. You know, I completely disassemble the figures. I've got like one of these 12-inch files that, you know, machine in the machinist shop where it just eats up shit, right? I've got one of those things, and I'll just completely destroy the shoulder balls, the elbows, the knees, everything. Anything where you know, a scrapable surface makes contact with another one, man, I'll take it down by like 2 millimeters. There's not going to be any
Damn. So you leave it just enough so the joint still functions.
Yeah, basically, yeah. They're held together with a whisper and hope. No, ain't no damn paint straight.
See, I've tried before, and I always overdo it. My joints are too loose, and then I've got like a, you know, like this noodle.
See, I'm not making them skinnier. I'm just drawing back the discs, the outer disc up. You know, if you make them skinnier, that's when they get loose. But if you're drawing, if you just draw back the disc portion of it, like in an elbow or whatnot, that's not going to affect the looseness of it or the tightness. And then, honestly, a lot of times those kinds of joints will have the peg pin where there's that peg hole on the side that I really hate.
Yes.
I glue those up and fill those in anyways. So I don't have a problem with loose joints.
Gotcha. No, that's not a bad idea. Did you find that custom that you were looking for, JD?
Fuck no, because I went to Joe Customs and all the links to his customs, it brings me to the Homestead site, and it says that the site is down or something.
Yeah.
And I've gone to a couple of other boards where you post, and some of them, the search feature doesn't work all that well, and I can't, you know, even if it was on there, even if, you know, I can't find what it was because, you know, I was at the Fighting 118th and whatever, and their search feature ain't great.
More than a couple of years ago, you're probably not going to find it at all.
Yeah, probably not.
Unless it was something I posted in a dojo, you know, contest or something like that. I still have my old-ass busted rickety computer here where I have the same files, but I don't, you know, I just ain't got the money and time to go through and rebuild and all that shit.
Oh, who does? No. Who does have time for that? Yeah. Well, it's funny because a few weeks ago, or last month on the show, we had Mike Hatch of Keep It Clean Customs, and I mentioned that my friend down in Virginia had just found me the San Diego Comic-Con, the green Hiss tank and the Cobra Sight jet, and he was sending them to me, and Brian and Mike helped me brainstorm a custom, but I mentioned in there I hadn't gotten the set yet. He had just bought it for me. He hadn't even mailed it yet. And I got it, and the green Hiss tank, it's funny because it was up on the dresser one day. Like, I put the labels on it, the decals, but I wasn't real happy with the decals. Most of them I did put in places where, you know, where the instructions, you know, sort of where the old diagram would advise you to put it. And then some of them I'm like, that just doesn't work there at all. So put all the labels on it, put it up on the dresser. And my son is 3 years old, but he's hyper observant. He doesn't miss anything. And he's got the visual acuity of like a bird of prey. He can see things like a mile away, I swear to God. And he saw it up on the dresser, and he's like, "What's that tank?" And I'm like, "Uh-oh." He's like, "Can I play with that?" I'm like, "Yes," but I said, "Promise me you're going to be careful with it, you know, because he's not, you know, he's a kid, you know, they're only going to be so careful anyways." But I said, "Promise me you'll be careful with it." And then you know, I figured it'd be like a lot of things. I let him play with it a couple times, and sort of move on to it. Move on to something else. And then, no, not this green his tank. He keeps coming back for it. He's like, I want the, he's like, give me the tank. I'm like, yeah, he said, give me that tank one day. I'm like, uh-huh. I'm like, okay, yeah, you've adopted that. So, because initially I figured I'd share it with him, you know, let him play with it if he wanted to, but I'm like, man, he likes this thing so much, and he has been careful with it, but I'm like, you know what? I wasn't happy with the labels on it anyways. This thing, you know, it's not all that expensive. I mean, it's if you buy a broken-up version of that set, the Hiss Tank is the cheapest thing in there. So I went up on eBay. I bought another one, $20 shipped. It just came in the mail today, but I thought, you know what, because I mentioned to Brian one day that, because I wasn't happy with the decals on that one, was, you know what, I'm going to go to Cobra Stickers, or their new site, Toy Hacks, and...
I didn't know they had a new site.
Well, if you go to Cobra Stickers, it redirects you to it. But, yeah, it's, because instead of having Repro labels and Cobra Stickers and whatever one of their other sites was, it basically, it's all under one banner now.
Gotcha.
So I went over there and I thought, well, you know what, I'm going to order, because even their reproduction sticker sheets always have, they usually have something a little different from what you found on the original sticker sheet. Like, there'll be something custom on it, but I thought, you know what, I'm going to get a set of the Mobat decals. Because if Steeler is going to steal a Hiss Tank and he's going to paint an army green, you know what? He's probably going to decorate it like his Mobat. So I got the Mobat stickers. They're in transit. I don't have them now. So basically I'm going to put the Mobat stickers in as close to the equivalent place on the Hiss Tank as possible, and then, you know, I thought,
yeah, slim with that.
Well, no, but, you know, I'm just going to put them in the same approximate spots, but, and, you know, I think I was looking at it, and I thought, you know, if I give this thing sort of a light black wash over it, and give it just a minor weathering thing, like in the, you know, like in all the, where the armor plates are welded together. I thought, you know, that might be kind of cool. And then I was looking at it, and now, like all the Hiss Tanks, the treads have the same sort of riveted armor plates that the upper half of it has, you know, in between, like, the wheels. And I thought, you know, if I can match his green, maybe I'll do the armor at the bottom the same color, and then
you're gonna try and color match something.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah, I really am.
You?
Yeah, I'm really going to.
All right. Whoever you are, you need to die in a fire and give me my buddy JD back, please.
No. Let's put it this way: if I can get close enough, then, well, you know, and sometimes you can get sort of in the neighborhood. Well, for this particular project, yeah, I kind of need to. It works for the traditional Hiss Tanks because, you know, they're all black. But this one, yeah, there's a little bit of disparity with the...
You were talking about that custom. You finished the pilot for that then, right? Because we were talking about that on the show. I don't
for
think we
what the Cobra Scythe?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
I don't think we mentioned that.
No, you're right. I haven't, because the last time because it was in progress the last time we had one of these. And yes, he is done. He's got different legs, and he's got the different lower arms, just like I was planning to do. Because Brian sent me a pair of Viper, and he's got the lower legs. And he's got one of those weird, I don't know, whatever you call that armored arrowhead thing the pair of Viper.
I called it like a steering fin or something. I don't know what they were going for there in that.
I don't know, but you know what? It's freaking cool looking. So he's got one of those on there. He's got a parachute rig, and he's got Namor's head because it's got that sort of superior sumbitch look on it. And totally. I mean, I sculpted some extra hair, and well, you can ask Brian. He saw a picture of the custom itself. He's got the most ridiculous facial hair I can come up with.
You need to post it on the Facebook page.
He's got like a goatee, but it's like real long and braided, and it's crazy.
You need to post it on the Facebook page since we talked about it on the shows.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I should do that. Well, I took a couple of pictures, but I haven't taken as many pictures as I wanted to take. But basically, I photographed it so you could sort of see what I did there. But with the parachute rig on, because what I ended up using was one of the G.I. Joe Retaliation, or maybe it was Pursuit. Yeah, I think it was the Retaliation line. One of the Cobras had a parachute pack. And I thought, you know what, he's going to wear that, and he's got the leg straps from the Paraviper that hold the flippers to the back of his ankles, and with the gear on, he still fits inside the jet.
I think that's awesome. That's hard to do with parachute gear.
It works, and the helmet, because Brian sent me that crazy sci-fi helmet off the Ace figure, so he's got the swappable head, so he can wear the flight helmet, and you know he can just So the custom's done. I just need to photograph it.
Yeah, definitely.
Extensively.
You know, it's funny that, because that reminds me of one of the things we were talking about on that show as well. And like, this is what we need Jimbo for. We need to get Jimbo on them. I was trying to explain what Microman figures were and what Micronauts were. I'm like, you know, this is where we need Jimbo.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so yeah, Brian, I'm glad you mentioned this custom because I forgot to mention it. Yeah, he is done. I think I'm going to end up going with a different code name than the one that was suggested only because I want something that's totally less of a code name and more of like a nickname. You know, that he would have had when he was a pilot in the military, kind of like how they all have their call signs.
Yeah, call sign.
Hang on. What's up?
The difference between a call sign and a code name.
Yeah, and it's a nickname. Kind of wearing the same thing.
Always kind of assumed that they were, you know, basically the same thing.
No, but I mean, it was more like, I think I just want to find. I don't want to. Never mind. I can't describe it at all. My mindset at all. Like I can't even.
I remember asking that question on Joe Custom once. It's like, where do the code names come from? Who decides that, you know, this schmuck that we're finally inducting into the Joe team gets such and such, you know, code name? Who is that? Sometimes it has to be like, you know, the guy comes with it. It's his nickname from when he was in flight school or maybe back when he was in high school or something.
Here's the thing, a lot of the armor drivers that they've got, it sort of seems to be something that they would have, like Armadillo
Like some guys, you know, they wait until they're in their position, and then they, you know, the code names are used in intelligentsia world, I think, when they're referring to these people, so that in case the messages are intercepted, you know, the Cobra guys won't be able to target their families kind of thing. I think that's why the Joe code names exist in the first place, right?
That's sort of what I figured, too. Assigned
to such and such characters, you know, some guys just come in and, you know, they don't really have much of a personality or whatnot. Their code name gets assigned as something around their specialty, right? But like You know, who decided that, you know, he would be called Snake Eyes? Where, how the fuck does that work with, you know, him being a ninja and a commando and shit? You know? It's, you know, how does playing dice and shit have to do with any of that? You know? Where'd that come
from? Well, and then you've got the unfortunate guys like Skidmark.
Skidmark, yeah.
But, well...
You know, and then there's other people like Scarlet where it's obvious that that right. was basically her name from birth. You know, that's obviously what she got called in school. And, you know, everybody called her that. When, you know, the guys were hitting on her in the bar and at the boot camp, they were calling her Scarlet. You know,
well,
there as she went into the go-to. You know?
Well, and the guys like Clutch makes perfect sense because, you know, he worked on race cars. You know, and yeah. he drove race cars long before he ever drove a, you know, the military vehicles.
Yeah, but, you can see him. You know, you can imagine somebody, you know, coming up to him at his house. He's out on the front yard. He's underneath a car, you know, working on the clutch and whatnot. And that's what they call him. Hey, Clutch, get the fuck out of here. Let's go get some beers or something. You know?
Yeah, and you know the same would go with like Grunt. I mean, that's exactly what he is. He's a yeah. the command, you know, he's like the, but yeah, this particular guy, I haven't decided on a code name yet.
What was the name that Mike had given him? I forgot.
I can't suggested. Remember either. I think it was definitely a piloting term. I think it was like, maybe it was Backdraft or backflap or something. It was definitely a piloting term, and what I want to do with this guy instead is I think I want to give him some sort of name that basically just says
reflects, you know, his personality.
More, yeah, exactly. Like Val Kilmer was Iceman in Top Gun, and then, you know, you sort of, you know, because in that movie you had Viper, Merlin, Sundown, Cougar. Yeah, I kind of, I'm going to give him something like that, but sort of want to make it
It's
unique.
Funny you mentioned that, because I just recently seen, well, it's been a while now, but I saw an interview with Tom Cruise. He did a ride-along on an F-14 with a Navy pilot for that movie, and the pilot that he flew with, his name was Sicko. And
that's funny.
So, you know, he was they were up in there, and, you know, Tom Cruise is like, "So why is your name Sicko?" And then he starts pulling all these high G maneuvers, and, you know, Tom Cruise is puking, and he's like trying to get him to stop, and he won't. And it's like, "Oh, that's why you're called Sicko."
Yeah, that makes sense. So yeah, I haven't figured out the guy's code name, but he basically, I went with the face sculpt that said, "I am better than you," and not just at piloting, but at life. You know, basically, Namor has that look, and that's what this guy needs to have.
Yeah, they captured that well in that figure.
What's up?
They captured that well in that figure.
Yeah, they really did, and that's why, other than adding facial hair, I didn't have to do anything. He didn't need any paint, because if you were to repaint it, you'd lose all the personality that it already had, you know, in the face. So, yeah, basically, yeah, he needs a name, but I haven't come up with anything. So if you guys have some ideas,
I'll have to think about that.
Is it something he calls himself with pride, or is it something he gets called by others?
Oh, it would definitely be something that he would...
He chooses and he enjoys.
Yeah, but he's so good that, you know, it's one of those things that, yeah, everybody else would use it only because to not use it, he'd take, you know, he'd have an aversion to that. Kind of like Iceman, just he was Iceman. That's what he wanted to be called. So yeah, if you guys have any ideas, I'm sort of stuck because I was sort of looking for something it was like a game of chance or something, but I'm like, no, that's not, I don't know.
I don't know. What's the name of the plane again? Skye?
Yeah.
How about the Grim Reaper?
Ooh. Like, just call him Reaper?
Yeah, he comes for you all. He comes for you. The Reaper comes for everybody in the end.
All right. Well, there you go. There's his name. All right. Well, Jimbo, give me a file name for him.
This is a Cobra guy, right?
Yep. Yep.
What nationality?
You know what? Cobra doesn't have enough. European.
I was just thinking European. I mean, he's got that European snob kind of look. No offense to our European listeners.
And let's be honest, if you're thinking European snob, you're thinking of the French.
Yep. no offense, Julian.
Oh, sorry, Julian.
no offense, but it's what you think of.
Yeah, because
let's go with Julian.
That's not very nice. I don't think he's going to come on our podcast anymore.
But try to find what the French word for like Reaper is, man. See if that would work as his last name. Ooh. If it's something not like Julien de Reaper, nothing like that. You don't want something that's obvious.
Because I love the character of Lieutenant Falcon, but I can't stand that his file name is Vincent Falcone.
Yeah. French.
While he's doing that, I was wanting Jimbo to explain what Micronauts were to JD.
Yeah, I know a little bit, but not enough.
Alright, let's see. The going back to the golden age of yesteryear, I think about 1971 or 72, the oil crunch was kicking in, and they started feeling the effects before us because they had a smaller economy, I guess, whatnot. Anyway, Takara's close relationship with Hasbro back in the 12-inch days, well, Takara decided to go to the smaller scale first, and they created the first 18th scale action figure line. They called it Microman. And honestly, these things were, for the time, these things were astonishingly ridiculous.
Yeah.
They basically had the entire, G.I. Joe format except for swivel hind arm, but they had, ball wrists, ball ankles that you could pull off, all this good stuff. They had that gut unit that you pull out and swap around. And they basically did it because the smaller scale, you didn't have to use as much plastic. And they sold cheaper, you can sell more of them, yada, yada, yada. And this line, the Microman line was, and back in, Japanese toy lines are really weird. They bleed together a lot, right? Because out of the Microman line, you had all these other toy lines that were basically interminglable with them. You had the Diaclone stuff. You had the shit that eventually became the Transformers came out of them. All of this stuff. The core Microman line was, I'm not even sure that there was a story to them. It was basically good guys that filled all these different roles, like, Micro Explorer, Micro, I don't know. It was generic kind of stuff, like adventure team kind of stuff, but Japanese sci-fi.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because a lot of 70s toy lines, they left a lot to the imagination. That's why, the whole thing was you get it and it can be whatever you want it to be.
Yeah. Well, and then come along the 1976, maybe 75, Mego, they bought the toy molds and whatnot, right, to reproduce them here in America, and they basically just reissued Microman line as Micronauts here in America, and it sold well. It was going, and there was plans for more stuff. before the company Lego imploded, died, all of their stuff they were putting out just went away. And that happened right around the time, maybe a year after Star Wars came out. Star Wars stuff was beating ass all up and down the toy aisle.
For years. There was no competition.
Yeah. And but before that happened, Marvel, you know, licensed the Micronauts toy line, and they created this whole mythos. And when you think of Micronauts, most people are thinking of the Marvel comic book, the mythos and all of those characters. You know, due to rights issues and whatnot, you know, half of those characters are owned by Marvel. Half of them were owned by Mego, who then have now passed on to Hasbro, who are supposedly going to start doing some stuff with this property that they've owned since 2009, finally.
Someday. IDW is trying to start it. Let's see if Hasbro can follow through.
But when you think, the difference between the Microman and Micronauts, they're the same toys. The Marvel comics are where you really get into the stuff that's exciting, and you wish there were toys of those characters and whatnot.
Oh yeah,
and there never have been. Not the way they really looked in the Marvel comics. Stuff you really want, you know. And if you're an American collector, get excited about Micronauts toys. What they really want are the Marvel characters. Frankly, so, from what we've seen from Hasbro, it doesn't look like.
So what's kind of just the, like, Cliff Notes version of the mythos of the Micronauts then?
Oh, shit.
I didn't say there'd be a test tonight, but there you go.
One of the cool things about Marvel Comics at the time was that when they would do a licensed property, they would still set it in the Marvel Universe. So you had this toy character like Rom or the Micronauts and whatnot. He was interacting with, you know, Captain America and the X-Men and all that stuff, you know, which is a big factor of why so many of these characters are still loved, because they're seen as an integral part of the Marvel Universe itself. But the Micronauts, they're from a subatomic universe. You can reach this universe. The easiest quote-unquote way to reach this universe is by shrink. Eventually, you'll shrink so small that you fall through the weave of the universe, you get below the plankton, and you just fall out of our universe, and then you're in the microverse.
Yeah, that's right? Pretty much what they did with Ant-Man in the movie.
Exactly.
If
Ant-Man had the balls to keep going, supposedly he would have reached the microverse.
Man.
Okay? And in this microverse, you know, physics are a bit weird. Comic, I think, may have actually come out after Star Wars premiered, but the characters and the designs and whatnot were predated before Star Wars got big. So you'll hear a lot of bitching about how Baron Karza is a ripoff of Darth Vader, but no. You know, the design of Baron Karza is like 5 years before Darth Vader ever hit the screen. That's just not true. But the microverse, you look at it, it looks like a big molecule. It's like spheres with these big cylinders connecting them, and there's like 30 or 40 of these spheres all connected, floating in space and whatnot. And each one of these spheres is a whole different planet. It's orbited by little micro suns to simulate day and night lines. And each one of these planets has a different global environment. And you'll get the different characters from each one of these different worlds. Micronauts were originally Commander Arcturus Ran, who was his design was based on the space glider Microman figure. He's an explorer. He's the son of Dallin and Sepsis, the ancient king and queen of Homeworld. I think it is. Yeah, Homeworld. He goes out in space exploring all the other planets with his trusty robot Biotron. And over 1,000 years, he mostly sleeps it away in suspended animation. He comes back 1,000 years later to find that his parents have been murdered by the chief scientist, who is now Baron Karza. Baron Karza has figured out immortality, and he's created the body banks where four people and the oppressed are chucked in and the body parts are scavenged, rich and powerful to make keep themselves, you know, youthful and ever living. This is horrible. They don't, you know, and Terrence Randy's like, yeah, fuck this shit. I don't like it. So he creates a fighting force to fight Baron Karza. He ends up with Princess Marionette, who wears this really funky red, yellow, and white outfit.
Princess Marionette, huh? All
Princess
right,
Marionette. Not, yeah, there's, she's not like, you know, laden with symbolism that she's a puppet by the royal. No,
I just mean that they outright just use the word marionette. Like, they didn't change that's funny.
There was King Acrogear, who all the kings of the Acrogear race are called Acrogear. They take the name of their race to, you know, show their service to their people and whatnot. They basically spend their entire adult lives in this cool-ass space armor. They got glowy swords. They're basically, you know, warriors with a code and all that. There's Bug, who basically looks like Green Spider-Man with some funky antenna on his head. There's the robot Biotron, who's based on the Biotron toy. There's Microtron. That it? That was the basic team. Acrogear and Bug, they each had girlfriends. Celicia and Jasmine, yeah. Basically, over I think the comic ran 60 issues.
I was going to
get
70,
but yeah. And then
there
was a sequel coming for another 20 or something. Basically, you know, they kept fighting Baron Karza and killing him, but his origin is that he's figured out the secret of eternal life, so he would always come back, and they'd have to fight him. And yeah, there you go. There's the Micronauts in a nutshell. Part of their adventures was that they would sometimes come to Earth, where they would manifest as, you know, 6-inch tall little people that, you know, that would sometimes hide as in plain sight as toys.
Huh. All right.
That was the gimmick.
Well, there
They had adventures with the Fantastic Four, with Man-Thing, with Doctor Strange. Is that it? That might be it. The Marvel Heroes. You had Michael Golden doing the first year's worth of art on it. It was beautiful stuff. It was basically a mix of Star Wars with Conan, I guess you could say. It was like fantasy stuff. They all used swords and shit in space. It was just really cool shit. I loved it. I want toys of those figures, those characters, after 35, 40 fucking years. Come on, Hasbro. Get with the fucking program.
Right.
Hey, somebody started a Kickstarter for that shit.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is that the fucking rights are all up in limbo.
Yeah.
You got the designs of Arcturus Ran and Bug are supposedly based on figures, but the names are held by Marvel. Then you got Acrogear, held by Mego, now Hasbro and whatnot.
Probably some of that's held by Takara still, I would imagine.
No, well, the original toy designs and names, yes. Not anything that really made it.
Okay.
Marvel, Phil Mantlo, just, you know, created this whole fucking universe out of whole cloth.
Wow, yeah, he was an imaginative guy, that one.
Yeah. I think he did the same thing with Rom, where he just, you know, there was no story to this guy other than this one paragraph on the back of the package, and he just created this whole universe. Dire Wraith, entirely whole cloth. That's why you'll sometimes see the Dire Wraith still show up in Marvel Comics. They own them, you know, 100% lock, stock, and barrel.
I think that's awesome, man.
That is awesome.
And then to get back to Microman, in the late 90s or so, Takara decided to revive the brand, and they started doing these like little Exo Squad scale figures, you know, where they fully embraced the idea that these guys were little in our world, and that they would disguise themselves as toys and everyday objects and shit. They came out with the Microman 2000 line, which just a beautiful toy line, and it was only hampered because figures are only Exo Squad scale and not, you know, good proper 18s, right? You know, they had a command station that turned into a PlayStation. You know, you close it up, it's a fucking PlayStation, right? They had a helicopter that hid in a cup of noodles, right?
Yeah.
It was, you know, they had like three or four vehicles that, you know, folded up into proper set tape size set, right? Yeah, it was just a beautiful, beautiful done toy line, and nobody gave a shit. Then after that, went on for about 3 or 4 years, they came out with the Microman Millennium figures. If you think about, you know, if you see any Microman customs nowadays, it's probably using those figures, the ones that were like, you know, 35 points of articulation on them.
Yes.
Yeah. They were just, you know. When those things came out, you know, Joe was still doing, was just starting out the new Sculptor. Right? Those Microman figures, like a nuclear bomb on.
I remember when the first time I found those. I mean, I did a. We were talking about Microman figures, and Mike had never heard of them. He's like, "What is that?" I'm like, "Dude, look it up."
There's a whole world to do it for.
Yeah, totally. I had done a 4-man SEAL team using the Batman Microman figures at one point in time.
Right. And one of the things that I love about the packs is that I see a lot of Microman, Micro Millennium figures, you know, design, see a lot of that aesthetic in going into the packs. You know, they look at them. Look at them, they're nude figures that look like they're based on classical sculpture, you know, portion. Yeah, I fucking love them.
Definitely.
Pardon. Yeah, I type a whole lot every day, but I don't necessarily speak. But I see a lot of the spirit of the man like.
Well, we were talking about that, and I'm like, I know there's like this whole big backstory behind what, you know, Microman and how it relates to Micronauts and the figures, and I'm like, I don't know any of that, but I know Jimbo knows. We got it.
I didn't know much of anything. Brian's knowledge was. He had a basis, but it sort of scratched the surface. So, in fact, I think on that show he said, "Man, that's what Jimbo needs to talk about."
Sure enough,
the relationship between Microman and Micronauts is kind of like what the relationship between the old, you know, 12-inch GI Joes and then Real American Hero. The Real American Hero toy line never actually existed. You know, you got this. You got this generic soldier concept where there's no real story going on. It's just, you know, here's soldier play. You know, and then some guy comes along and he just creates this whole fucking universe of characters, relationships, and all this stuff that's going on, you know, that you really want toys with. But, you know, thank God, you know, Real American Hands got most of everything they wanted. But no, you know, us Micronauts fans are still here 40 years later with 4 decades of blue balls.
such a bunch of
kind of the same relationship. Now, they just went from generic to really specific and awesome stories.
Before I forget, I should have done this at the beginning of the show. Just kind of as a news thing, I wanted to pass along. Condolences to the family of Steve Dillon, who is a big Punisher artist. as well as Preacher and what's some of the other stuff that he's done there, Jimbo?
He, back in the 90s, he was responsible for this comics and music magazine over in the UK called Deadline, which I was fortunate enough to, you know, pick up maybe one out of every 3 or 4 issues back in the day. Really, really, really cool. You know, you'd find out about all these cool underground, you know, UK bands and stuff, and then right, you know, flip the page, there'd be this cool tank girl. He didn't necessarily draw everything in it, but, you know, he got a lot of up-and-coming artists at the time, a lot of exposure, writers and artists.
Yeah.
That was very cool.
He passed away last weekend from a ruptured appendix.
Did you find out what it was, actually?
Yeah, I did. So
yeah, last I heard, it was undisclosed. Like, his sister had confirmed that he died, but no further details.
The Punisher HQ, one of the fan sites that I'm on, Facebook, posted a link to his obituary. Monday.
He first got notoriety here in America, I think, with Garth Ennis's run on Hellblazer. They worked on for a few years before they did Preacher.
I didn't know. Oh man, I gotta find those, because we've been. That's one of the things my wife and I have been reading off and on is Hellblazer. We started reading that when the TV series came out.
That was, you're going to pay a pretty penny for those original issues.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get the original issues on those. We've just been getting the trade paperbacks.
For the first 3 or 4 years, it was written by Jamie Delano, and it was good. But when Garth Ennis came along, is when it really fucking got meaty and juicy and really fucking.
Yeah, Garth Ennis is just a phenomenal writer. He's definitely my favorite. Probably my favorite Punisher writer. I got to meet him 2 years ago at Denver Comic Con. I went up to him. I'm like, I hate to be the asshole that has like a whole bunch of shit for you to autograph, but I'm the asshole that has a whole bunch of shit for you to autograph. He's like, no, that's cool, man. He's like, I'm happy to do it, and just glad that you're a fan of the work and you enjoyed it. So
nice,
yeah.
Ennis is definitely. Yeah, he's a unique voice. He likes to go for the shock jokes and whatnot, but there's a lot of depth.
Totally.
To writing.
So yeah,
Preacher. What's really awesome about Preacher, after you read it for like 75 issues, you know, with like 6 years of these guys, and you think, have either of y'all read Preacher?
I haven't.
Nope.
Yes, no.
No, I have not.
Nope, neither's. Ah, shit.
Nope. No, in fact, until that show came on AMC, the only knowledge, and I only watch a couple episodes, I got rid of cable, but the only knowledge I had of it before was the really from reading Wizard magazine and, you know, seeing really the comic covers. It wasn't.
Don't need to read that stuff. It's.
I know it's. There's only so much I can, you know, I try and get as much stuff as I can, but there's only so much that I can do.
It's one of the greats, man. It's one of the greats. It's you know, sacrilegious, it's profane, it's blasphemous, it's, you know,
which
shocking.
Which is all awesome, so.
Yeah. It's definitely all of
that. I'm all for all of that, so.
When you're done reading the whole thing, you realize how crystal clear and sharp relief he's written the character. And you know these characters as real fucking people, you know, and it's really rare in writing of any medium. These characters are so rock solid in your head is you know, that you know exactly what Jesse would do, you know exactly what Philip would do, you know. And then you realize that he did this over 6 years without using, you know, thought balloons, which at the time were still the standard. Yeah, it just blows the fucking mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, y'all got to read that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's, you know, I got a list a mile long of stuff that I want to read, but it's on
put
there.
Put that near the top, man. That needs to be in the top 5.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, again, we are very saddened to hear about the untimely passing of Steve Dillon. I always enjoyed his work. I think he is definitely one of the artists responsible for kind of bringing Punisher back from the brink of some of the stupid shit that they had done with him. And it's just a loss to the community in general when we lose an artist like that. And I just wanted to say something on the show about it before I forgot. So, our condolences to family and friends and fans too. It hurts
everybody.
This is a
shitty year for comics, man. With Darwin Cook and now Steve Dillon. So,
yeah.
It's been a pretty shitty year for dead musicians, too.
Oh, it's been a shitty year for if you're a celebrity, man. I can't even. I mean, all the people that have died this year is just insane.
Let me mention. Okay, so doing some name research. Okay, I didn't like the French words for Reaper or Death. So I tried Oblivion. Now, it seems kind of obvious, but I like the sound of it. It's Oubli. And instead of going with Julian, because that is just, you know, but I wanted something French. He's Jacques Oubli.
Ooh, I like that.
It
works.
Yeah, so, yeah, he's Cobra's Reaper, so.
Well, there you go, I like that.
How do you spell Oubli?
Oubli.
That's a lot different than what I was thinking of it. Yeah, that worked. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's Oubli. He's Jacques Oubli. Cobra's probably got a lot of really arrogant characters, but he might be the top of that pile, but his reputation precedes him, so. Alright, so that character is, that's part of the reason why I didn't finish photography was I didn't have all the character stuff worked out, because name is pretty important, but so now he's good. Now I'm gonna photograph him and his crazy facial hair exactly.
They're stupid Americans. I fly circles around you.
There you go. I like it. That's perfect.
So I just wanted to update before we end the conversation. I'm like, shit, I forgot to mention the costume. So.
And that brings us to, we're at 2 hours and 15 minutes, so I think that's, we'll call it pretty good at that.
I don't know, but all right, if you want to cut it off.
Time for a bathroom break.
Yeah, definitely. But we'll definitely have you on again, that's for sure.
I would very much enjoy it.
Yeah, how about, next week or something?
They have a wide open schedule.
Excellent. I think normally we do, totally just like stream of consciousness, but something like this, we need to this is one that we need to have a plan for because it's just.
I would say this is just basically an introductory episode.
Yeah.
To say, well, we didn't have you on before, now we're going to have you on, and we just see.
Reoccurring guest role.
Basically. I got to study now? I didn't know it was going to be like an assignment.
Yeah, but definitely, thanks for coming on, Jimbo. It's good to talk to you once again, and thanks for always thanks for coming on the show. And yeah, we're gonna definitely make this like a reoccurring thing.
Just one closing thing, going back to Transformers, if y'all are interested, get some. Deluxe ones because they're awesome. They play great. You get the whole gimmick all in one package with the little dude that bends into the head and whatnot.
I need that Galvatron. I need that figure.
Get one of the $15 deluxe versions. Try it out.
Well,
Storm.
I've got Blur, I've got Alpha Bravo, and one of the Decepticon jets, I don't know, from last year. I can't remember any of their names. They're just cool. I've got
last
the
year as a head bot.
No. I'm talking about the recent run of Transformers. But no, I've got Blur, even though I haven't opened them yet. I bought them the other day. But I saw Galvatron, and I couldn't afford him. Like, I got Blur, but because it was a matter of, well, I don't have enough for Galvatron, but I got enough for Blur. And I've got to get Galvatron, though, because Galvatron, for me, I've always thought that reincarnated Megatron was cooler than Megatron, and that figure is, yeah, that figure is everything that Galvatron should be, because none of the figures they've done before really captured him. I mean, none of the G1 Transformers toys, most of them are just sort of blocky and stupid looking. And a lot of them have gotten cool modern updates in the years since, but none of Galvatron's really did. I mean, there was a cool one a few years ago, but it was, you know, it was one of those smaller scales, and it wasn't imposing at all. This Titans Return one definitely is. I want to get the there's a Titans Return Rodimus coming, and I want to get one of those too.
When you open Blur and you enjoy him, because you will, start looking for Brainstorm at your Walgreens, because he's an exclusive there. He's everything that Blur is, except awesomer.
I don't, you know what, a lot of the Transformers, a lot of the G1, I only had a few of them when I was a kid, and there's a lot of characters I don't remember. Was Brainstorm, I get the sense from the Transformers fans that, like, he was in G1, and he had a following, but who was he? I don't remember him at all.
Fuck if I know.
Yeah, we've not been able to get a decent Transformers guy on here.
No. So, yeah, we're looking to have a Transformers Spotlight episode, and I need a knowledgeable guest for it, but I need to go on a serious search for one.
Transformers shit out there. Yeah,
but I'll go look for Brainstorm. You said Walgreens.
Yeah, he's an exclusive. The only thing I don't like about Blur is that he needs some more color to him. His little headbot guy, when he turns into head mode, he's got an extending helmet crest that pops out of his, frankly, the robot's ass. That would be very cool to have on Brainstorm, but Brainstorm's color, and then he's got some wings and other stuff that pop out on him and shit. You just put him above. It's very well worth it.
Well, it's cool because, you know, I mentioned Toy Hacks, Cobra stickers. Well, most of the Transformers that come out, they do these decal sheets for them where basically they add a lot of color and pop and personality to the sometimes minimal paint apps that Hasbro does. And they do, and it, what they do is usually the sculpts on the Transformers are good, but the paint apps usually sort of cover sculpt, but they don't have a lot of it's not very intricate, and a lot of what Cobra stickers does is
they save their money is on the paint.
And Cobra stickers, they go and they make these decal sheets that add all kinds of like they'll have decals that go on like the front of the feet or the knees or the wings of the jets, and basically, it gives it all kinds of extra detail that makes it so you don't need the sculpt to do it, because it, you know, and sometimes, a lot of times they give you labels to make, like these characters, that get sort of these weird versions, like the white Optimus Prime from Combiner Wars last year. A lot of people liked the toy, but they didn't necessarily like it as Optimus Prime. So the site gives you, they've got three different decal sets available for it to turn him into a couple of other different characters. Like, one of them is Nova Prime, and one of them is, I don't know, somebody else. But basically, you can turn, or there's like an alternate universe version of Optimus Prime. Basically, these stickers fill in all the details the paint doesn't, and yeah, it gives it a whole new identity. It's freaking cool. They've got a set for Blur.
Is that like the shattered glass?
I don't. It's along the same lines, I think.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm actually going to pull it up right.
Is that a third party?
That shattered glass. The concept came from the Collectors Club.
I've been seeing a purple Prime with, like, his left windshield, or his right one has like a bullet hole.
Yeah, yeah. One of the third party manufacturers they're running with the idea of shattered glass because the Collectors Club came up with it, and yeah, one of the third parties is now doing their own expansion on it because the club lost the license for Transformers. So,
oh, I didn't know that.
They got renewed for G.I. Joe for two more years, but yeah, they lost it for Transformers.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Okay, let me see. I pulled it up for the Combiner Wars sticker sheets.
Hasbro knows where their money is. That's what it is.
Yeah, basically. Combiner Wars Optimus Prime.
You say that, and then there's all this third-party Transformer stuff, and then I wonder how come there's no third-party G.I. Joe stuff.
Maybe, eventually.
Isn't that kind of what the Eagle Force Kickstarter is?
No.
Sort of,
but not quite. Sort of, Eagle Force is definitely Ego Force.
Let's see. They've got the sticker sheet that just basically gives him all kinds of cool bright colors. Like, he's bright green and these little bright green metallic highlights. They have another set that will actually turn him into a whole different character. It'll turn the White Optimus into G2 Thunderclash, whoever the hell Thunderclash is.
The White Optimus Prime, clearly.
The third set will turn into an IDW character called Nova Prime.
Huh.
They've got a set for Blur, but I didn't have the figure yet. Like I said, I've got Alpha Bravo, and I've got, God damn it, it's one of the Jets. One of the Decepticon Jets from the...
What color is he?
Hang on, I'm actually looking him up right now. Air Raid. They've got
Air Raid's
a label set for Air Raid.
Air Raid's an Autobot.
I don't know. He's black and red. Whatever. Maybe he's a... I don't know.
He's an Aerial Bot. That's one of the Aerial Bots. Air Raid, I think, is an F... The original was an F4 Phantom.
All right, Mr. fucking expert at things.
found your guest already.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm going to have to look that up now.
He's got all these highlight... basically... The unpainted parts, these labels have given all kinds of detail. Like I said, I've got the helicopter Alpha Bravo. He was a new Transformers character for the Combiner Wars line, but I really liked him. And he's like a white helicopter with orange and blue highlights. And the labels just add all kinds of extra.
I was wrong.
You know, it makes it look like he's got a more elaborate paint job than they gave him. And then Air Raid, same thing. He's got these orange metallic stickers, and now I need to get the set for Blur, only because basically the good toys that Hasbro's doing, basically turns it into a real presentation piece. That yeah, you're right. It's an Autobot. I thought it was a.
Oh, and I was wrong on the plane. It's an F. It's an F-14. So.
Yeah, I thought. Yeah, I honestly. Okay. But. Yeah, go to Cobra Sticker. I mean, if you've got G.I. Joe vehicles that you want reproduction labels for or custom labels, they've got. All right, now the Sky Striker came out and they repainted it. Hasbro repainted it a few times. But this Toy Hacks website, they basically have custom label sets to turn your Sky Striker into a bunch of different real world. Flight companies, and then they've got individual sticker sheets to do most of all of the pilots from Top Gun. So,
I think they also do most of the Robotech stuff, and I know I have bought at least all the ones that they had at the time for Transformers for the Decepticon Strikers, because I've done customs for.
If they still. Hang on, let me see. Yeah, well, for the Top Gun sets, basically, you've got, let's see. Yeah, you've got stickers enough to make, let's see, you've got the planes for Sundown, Iceman, Maverick, and... I think it's Merlin, and then
I think there was four of them.
You've got the Decepticons, and then you've got the real world military units like the Puking Dogs and the Grim Reapers and the Jolly, whatever the hell the Jolly Rogers is, and
that's the Jolly Rogers is the flag with the skull and the crossbones.
Yeah, I know that, but I don't know what the military unit is.
I think it's a naval.
Let me see. Yeah, F-14. Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure enough. Yeah, the F-14 squadron. And then, yeah, they've got a bunch of labels to, turn your Sky Striker into the Robotech VF.
Is there a Dreadnought pilot character anywhere? So I was thinking that Zika would be a great fucking name for him.
You know what? I don't think the Dreadnoughts do have a pilot, which is funny because
Zanzibar sort of.
Nah, yeah. You know what? I think he's as close as they've got. But yeah, that's funny because they've got a couple of they have the swamp helicopters and
I was thinking of swamp helicopter, but that didn't come with the figure, did it?
No. No, in fact, other than the Thunder Machine, I don't think any of the Dreadnought vehicles had pilots because
the motorcycle that came out
the Sears exclusive. The
no. Just a few years ago, the trike.
Yeah, with
Oh fuck! I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he had like black. He had the black bandana over his face.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
His trike bike had like razor blades up hanging off the ass end or something.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Fuck. I don't remember that guy's name.
I can't remember it either.
But yeah, that I mean the Sears back in the '80s, Sears had a couple of sets that were just basically like repaints of like the Skyhawk, the Ram motorcycle.
I don't remember those at all.
Yeah, they're basically Joe and Cobra vehicles in the Dreadnought colors, and yeah. So if somebody was to make a custom pilot for like the Dreadnought Skyhawk, yeah, you're right. Sicko would be a pretty cool code name for him.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
I didn't know about this.
Here's your next project, man.
What's that?
There's your next project, yeah.
Yeah, Dreadnought pilot. Dreadnought's really aren't my thing.
Making Cajun, yeah. So you can use a French name again.
JD is definitely more the Dreadnoughts guy than I am.
Yeah, but I'm less so than I used to be. It's more, yeah, it was, there was a time when, yeah, I was definitely a Dreadnoughts fanatic, but now it's sort of like, I still like a couple of them, but for the most part, they're just sort of,
go out on a high point, man.
There you go.
Jimbo, this has been an enlightening conversation.
Yeah, totally. We're gonna have to do this again. We're at 2.5 hours now, so we're definitely gonna have to.
All right.
All right. I know y'all got to get up and go to work in the morning. All right.
All right.
Whatever. As if sleep's important, man. You'll do that when you're in your grave.
Yeah.
Hey, man, but, yeah, when do y'all get back to me? You said next week, maybe? That would be awesome.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll have to trade some ideas about, you know, what to talk about.
Yes, definitely. All right. And, yeah, we're definitely 2.5 hours now, so I am going to say thank you for listening to episode 9. We thank Sean and Jimbo for being on the show. Again, condolences to Steve Dillon and his family. And tune into the next episode where we'll talk about who knows what. Thanks for listening.
Good night.
Good night.